In Psalm 90, we'll read most of the psalm. We're just going to focus on a few verses of it. It's going to teach a simple thought from the verse. I'm going to call the message tonight, "Teach Us to Number Our Days." Teach us to number our days. Psalm 90, beginning in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this: "Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, for the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early in thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Lord, we thank you for the Bible tonight. We thank you for you being the wonderful God that you are. We pray that this admonition from your scripture will help us to do that which would bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few simple things we just worked down through the passage. We see the psalmist writing here. Notice that the psalm of Moses, the man of God, but he said, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, a place of resting. In all generations, God, for every generation can be a place of rest, can be a place to dwell and abide in." You know, Brother Wheeler sent me a text the other day, according to 1 John 15, he said, "Are you abiding or trying?" You know, the Bible said we should abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of, many people are trying to spend time with Christ instead of abiding in Christ. Abiding is a permanent decision, kind of like a marriage. You choose to abide there continually. Some in the courtship phase are trying to figure out what they're really going to do, but once the marriage takes place, it's an abiding, it's settled for all generations. And it said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." That's a good thought there. To remember, from everlasting, from as far as there's time, as far as there's the future, as far as there's the past, any dimension that you think of, there's God. "Thou turnest man to destruction and says, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past." 1,000 years is nothing to God. You know, and really need to think about your own life. Whatever number of years you get here is going to be that fast. So you want to make them count. That's what we're talking about, the number. Our days, as we think about coming to the end of a year, we need to number our days. We need to value our days. And it says, "Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening it is cut down and withereth. And notice in verse 9 it says, "For we spend our days pardon me, for all our days are passed away in wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, when you tell a story, that's the way our years go by, just like that. I think of different things. When I talk about things that happened to you as a child, my children, I think, man, that's part of my life that just went by like nothing, you know. And then in verse 10, it kind of gives us a measure of our days. They give us kind of an idea. It says the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they be 80. So it says our years are 70. But if there's the strength there beyond the normal, it might be 80. Yet there's in their strength there's labor and sorrow. Most people, once they pass 70, some are in exceptionally good health, and some, but generally there's some strength and labor. Sometimes just in existence is a labor and even a sorrow. Even though we're glad they're here, but their own actual existence is a labor and a sorrow. I remember my pastor was telling me one time I think he's 63 now, but whatever year it was, maybe 70, he said, we were talking about this passage here. He said, I've got 9 years left. I think he was 61 then. And he knows God could do differently. But he thought, you know, hold on. That's, so he's trying to number his days to make it last or count. You know, I'm 43. So that's what, 27? Can I still do math? 27 years that I'm at, by the grace of God, if he chooses to give me that many, and that I can make count for Christ. And hopefully I won't wait 20 years and say, let's kick it in overdrive for the last 7. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to number our days. You know, and looking at the passage, I was thinking about this numbering of days. Of course, we just came celebrating the holiday of Christmas. And I was thinking about, as you look at a calendar, what you'll find is on certain numbered days, there will be events, there will be occasions. Hey, even if you have your own calendar, you'll fill in certain events on your calendar and you mark those days as significant. And you've numbered those days and you prioritize those days. And on those certain days, you plan to do certain things. Just like today, since it's my wedding anniversary, I numbered the day. I planned to take my wife out to lunch. And so it was a priority. It was something I wanted to do, something I prepared to do weeks in advance. And because I numbered that day, I accomplished something that day that I wanted to take place. And as we look at the scriptures here, I really believe that when the Bible tells us to number our days, that there's a way that these days can be numbered. And he wants us not to just casually go through life and just like was it c'est la vie? What does it mean? Just come as it may, just live life, whatever happens, happens. That's not the way God wants us to live life. He wants us to number our days. Just like, again, I plan to celebrate the day. And many of you planned to celebrate on Christmas. You plan to give you just on the holiday, or for you, whatever, that on your birthday or somebody else's birthday. You plan to do something that day. You number that day, and because that day has value, because that day is a priority, you do something. You have a vision for that day, and your vision for that day you bring to pass. Now, in the scripture here, we see some things, what it says here. First of all, it talks to us in verse 11. It says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now, he's talking about the Lord here. He said, who knoweth the power of the anger of God? I mean, who, according to the fear of God, he said, man, since nobody knows the vast depth of how God is really going to judge sin and the power of anger against sin, he said, you know what, we better think about something here. We need to number our days, because we need to make sure the time we have counts. And he says here in verse 12 also, teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So first thing I put number one is that as we number our days should be days of purpose. Our days should be days of purpose, because he says that we may apply our hearts. And when you apply, that word by definition means to fix the mind. That means you settle your mind on something. It means to engage or employ with attention. And so what God is looking for in you and me is that our days are days of purpose. Not just a day of, you know, I'm just going to wake up tomorrow and just whatever happens, happens. Like I said already, a day that, no, this day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And guess what? That's every single day we live. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And if the Lord made this day, we need to fix our mind that it's His day. Just like, again, on my wife's birthday, or if you have someone that you value and that you esteem, on their birthday, you value that as their day. And so what you do is, on their day, you do something special, you do something significant. Many times people will take off work, they'll rearrange their schedule, they'll sacrificially give a gift or something in honor of that day, because that day of that person that they love and they care for and they esteem means something to them. And so they fix their mind, they change their schedule, they adjust their life for the person on that day. Now, every day is the day that the Lord hath made. So we should fix our mind, fix our attention, adjust our schedule, adjust our life to honor and glorify, hopefully, the one that we love, we adore, we care for, we value, we esteem, and we choose to glorify Him. And so that gives this day, the day that the Lord has made, a day of purpose. If not, you just wake up, you know what we got to do? Well, I got to work, I got to go to school, got my responsibilities, whatever I got to do, I'm just going to roll on with it. I'm used to it, that's what it is, and guess what happens? Then things happen, and then you live the whole day, not really had even the mind of Christ, don't even know where God can be found. Why? Because you didn't number the day. You didn't value the day. You didn't fix the day. You didn't prioritize the day. You had no purpose in the day. No, well, I should say no godly purpose. You had a purpose of existence, maybe. But God said, number our day. Well, again, why? Because who knows the power of thine anger? You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that every, now think about this, every idle word shall be brought into judgment. Now, idle word is just basically a word said without direction. Just a careless word just thrown out. And you think about it, it didn't say an ungodly word. It just said an idle word. A word that just casually, so imagine, what do you think about our idle labors, our idle endeavors, our idle, what about our, the things we do without direction, without purpose? And so, since we don't know the power of the anger of God, we need to number our days. And God said to fix our mind, and he notice what he said to fix it on. He says, fix it on wisdom. Now, notice what he says here. It does not say apply our lives unto wisdom, but it says apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, because when the Bible says keep, I think it's Psalm 22 maybe, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And see, God says that we should number our days and apply our heart unto wisdom. See, when my heart is given unto wisdom, then my life is governed in a lot better situation. And because when my heart is yielded to God and in the hand of God, then what's going to come out is what God would like to come out. Now you can hold your place here and turn back to just one book, the book of Job. Job says something about wisdom that, you know, says we want to apply our hearts to it. If we apply this to our hearts, it will help us in so many different ways of our life. In Job chapter 28, in Job chapter 28, notice what the Bible says here in Job chapter 28. Verse 28, the Bible says, and he said, pardon me, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So we want to apply our hearts unto wisdom, we need to apply unto our heart the fear of the Lord. A reverence for God. And again, what would that entail? That would cause you not to number our days. I was thinking, you know, since it's my anniversary today, you know, some of the old crazy television shows in times past, they would show these men doing things for their wife on their anniversary because they were afraid of them. Because they're afraid to forget the anniversary, you know. I'm not afraid to forget my anniversary. I love my wife. I don't want to forget the anniversary. I want to do something special for her. I want to do something nice for her. So I'm thinking during the year, something to do on that day. But apart from that, we should, and that's a reverential fear, because I love my wife and I value the place that she has in my life. I want to honor her. I want to reverence her. And so I on purpose planned to sacrifice. I gave her a gift. I planned to take some of my time on my schedule to do something with her out of a reverence and a respect for her. And with God being much more valuable than any person we could ever face, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And when we apply our hearts to respect God, amen, again, whose day is this? The Lord's day, right. So it's His day. So if it's in our heart that it's the Lord's day, it won't be a small thing to start today with prayer. It won't, if it's in our heart that it's the Lord's day, it won't be a hard thing. You know, say, I need some direction from God today. I should probably get in my Bible sometime today to find out, since it's His day, get some direction on what He would like done with His day. How can I honor Him on His day, you know? Like, I told my wife today, since it was our anniversary, I said, dear, let's go out and shoot basketball for lunch today. Let's go play squash for lunch. You know, I did something that I thought she would like to do. I respected her, and on her birthday, I don't pick something that's just for me. The place I picked for us to go to lunch, I had her in mind, because though it's our day, since the Bible says, husband, love your wife, like Christ loved the church, Christ put the church above Himself, so I put my wife above myself. So her desire for the day is more important than my desire. And that's in my heart to do that. And so since this is the day that the Lord hath made, it's in my desire that I do for the Lord today whatever He wants, that I try to honor Him today. And so I start the day with prayer. I start today with the Bible, so that since it is His day, I want to, out of respect for His day, I want to honor Him in whatever day that He chooses. And since, you know, and what you really should do in your calendar, you know how you have, like, you may have a birthday, you may have Christmas, you may have St. Patrick's Day. You ought to have your calendar. You ought to say, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day, the Lord's Day. Number the day. And fear God that day, respect Him that day, and have it as a day that, and if you number the days, then you say, wow, this is, you know, guess what? December 28th comes once a year. Guess what? Tuesday or Wednesday of December 28th only came once this year too. Tomorrow will be Thursday, December 29th. Of 2011, that's only going to come once this year. And that's the day that the Lord hath made. He's not going to make another one just like it. There are going to be circumstances and variables in that day so unique than any other day. So you need to number that day and say, this is His day. Psalms, book of Psalms 111. Psalm 111. We read it in Job. He said, fear the Lord as wisdom makes it depart from evil, His understanding. So the kings, they started with wisdom, but they didn't necessarily finish in understanding because they didn't depart. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And notice this, a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. So many times people will say, I don't know what God's will is. Well, what are you doing? Are you doing the commandments that you already know? And that's the reason you don't have a good understanding of God's will, because that's what we're here. It's a good understanding. Have all they that do His commandments. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you're not doing the commandments that you do know, how can you have a good understanding of the things that you need to know? And God makes it very, and the fear, now if we again purposely apply wisdom to our heart. Because see, what we like to do, you know, since we love the world, let's just be honest. Okay, let's tell the truth in church, right? Because we love the world, Let's face it. We want wisdom in our finances. Because it's a lot better living in a house or apartment than it is living on the street, right? Isn't it? I mean, anybody want to live in the street tomorrow? So wouldn't you like some wisdom in your finances so you don't mismanage everything and next thing you know you're like, man, where am I going to live? So you'd like some wisdom in that area of your life. You like wisdom maybe in your health to do some things so you don't, nobody likes to feel miserable or sick all the time, you know. Some people sanitize, people wash their hands in a certain situation because they have a desire that their earthly experience with their health is pretty good, you know. And in our daily dealings in situations, we want things to go well. And so we want to apply wisdom to our life because we'd like to have a good life. But we need to apply wisdom to our hearts. And see, when it's applied to our heart, it permeates absolutely every area of our being. And then God is able to do with us what he would actually like to do with us. And what he would like to do, since it is his day, he would like you and I to do something on his day representative of the fact that it is his day. To glorify him. Hey, guess what? On Canada Day, people fly flags to represent the fact that it is Canada Day. To represent. If you like Canada, it's a patriotic thing. You know, I like on Canada Day seeing red and white a lot of different places. It tells me, you know what? You know what it tells me? Some people love this country. And some people are glad that they're in this country. Some people are thankful that they're in this country and that for the blessings that they have in this country, maybe the freedoms that they have. And they fly flags showing everyone, hey, I'm glad to be here. And how much better it is for the children of God, since it is the day that the Lord hath made, and we number that day as his, we show some of the representative that all who look on and say, you know what? I'm glad it's the Lord's day. I'm glad that God's the Lord. I'm glad that God made this day. I'm glad to serve him this day, and I'm glad to honor him this day. So when we apply our hearts to wisdom, and we'll have a good understanding if we do his commandment. You know, it's just like I said earlier, things are so simple with Christ, you know. Again, whatever you put in, it is exactly what comes out. God said, if you do the commandments, guess what? You have a good understanding of God. And you have a good understanding of different things in life. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be like, have a good mind about this one thing and do these first three commandments and ignore the last seven or other directives of God. And expect, you know, to be stable in all areas of your life. The truth we know is the truth we're supposed to follow. I was thinking about, as I was reading Kings, I think about Elisha. You know, and I never thought about this till today. Well, yeah, I guess it was yesterday I read that. How when Elijah was getting ready to be caught up in the whirlwind, and Elijah asked Elisha, what shall I do for you? And he said, that I have a double portion of thy spirit. And Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. And I thought about that. You know, I thought, well, why would that be hard? No, there's nothing too hard for God. And I thought, you know, and it finally hit me today. A double portion of the Spirit means that he's going to have double the amount of problems that Elijah had. And the double amount of his situations. If you think about it, now if you read in 1 Kings, you see Elijah mentioned a little bit and going through a few situations. But man, when you get there, in 2 Kings, is Elisha this, Elisha this, Elisha this, was always involved in something. And because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. But when you're given much, guess what? You've been given much. I mean, so it's okay. You know, and he was given that double portion of his spirit, and guess what? You don't see Elisha running like Elijah did either. And retreating. Because he had the double portion of the spirit, there were different miracles that he did. I think about twice the number of miracles that Elisha was used to do. And so he had a double portion. That meant he had double portion of conflict, double of situations. And to whom much is given, much is required. And so we are been given much when we know the commandments, we're supposed to do them. And the more we learn, the more we know, the more we're supposed to do, because that's how we have a good understanding. The reason Christianity is so much, seems like it kind of locked up in a lot of ways, because we have so much information out there that people aren't doing. People know so many things about the Christian life that they just don't do. And you got so many people that know all these things about the Christian life, and they don't do most of them, and guess what? They have no direction. They don't have a good understanding. Guess what? The more you know, the more you're accountable to do. You know, I was thinking about something that I was praying about this week, and I was thinking, the Lord, He gave me wisdom to help somebody in a situation, and I was thinking, you know what? Lord, there's much more You want from me. Someone had praised me for something I was able to help them with, and I thought, you know what? And I thank God for the wisdom, and I said, Lord, that's why it seems like You're never letting up on me. Because You've given me much. You give me an understanding about a lot of different things, and so You demand so much more of me. And thank God for that. And I think, Lord, thank You for giving me much. Now help me to be thankful in all situations that I've been given much, and willfully follow and walk in that. So, days of purpose. We'll move. Now back to the text here. In Psalm number 90. So God wants to number our days and make it a day of purpose. Second thing we see in the passage, number one, He wants us to number our days, have days of praise. Days of praise. Verse 14, He says, "Oh, satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." I want to rejoice. God said, satisfy us with Thy mercy. Let us be satisfied that You've given us mercy. And then it calls us to rejoice and be glad all our days. Then He says, make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us. We've gone through all this affliction. Make us glad in reference to the number of days we've afflicted. And the years when we have seen evil, even the negative situation, make us glad. Conversely, let us praise You, Lord. Make us glad. Let us rejoice. Give us days of praise. So God would have us to number our days to be days of praise. It says in the Psalms also, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. So we should number, since this is the day that the Lord hath made, we should rejoice today. It's today for every child of God should be a day of rejoicing. If we believe the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. So it says there should be days of praise. Days of purpose. This is God's day on purpose. It's not my day. It's not, honestly, you know what? It's never my day. It's always the Lord's day. People say, can I just have a day to myself? Well, no. It's the Lord's day. And God is love. And if you'll follow His day, guess what? God will do something for you on His day that'll bless you. if you keep it His day. So keep focus. Keep purpose. Apply your heart to wisdom. Fear the Lord. This is God's day. I better find out what God wants. This is God's day, I should do what He wants. If that bag that Brother David left in the bag, I pick it up, that's Brother David's bag. I should do with this bag what He wants me to do with it. I say, hey boy, let's go play football in the parking lot in Brother David's bag. No, it's not our bag. We can't do that. We should ask that, We should find out, Hey, if I find somebody's wallet, or find a credit card, Hey, shopping spree, no. I said, this is not mine. I should better find out what they want this. And most likely they're going to want it back, right? This is the day. The day of purpose, the day of praise. Number three, verse 16. The day, this should be a day of God's presence. Day of God's presence. Notice what it said in verse 16. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants. Lord, let Your work be visible. And Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Lord, let it be obvious that Your presence is over the work that we're doing. I thought, praise the Lord. When I thought of Francisco, I thought of all the years that I wanted to be some super basketball player. That here's someone that wanted an attribute that I had that really didn't have anything to do with basketball. He wanted the self-control. He wanted the temperance. And I thought, Lord, that's such a blessing. And here he says, Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Well, let's see you here. You know, this is the day. Did you see God at work in your life today? You should be looking for that in your day. Did you sense God's leadership, his direction? You sense his hand over something you're doing? Did you come to a situation at work you couldn't figure it out and you asked God he gave you wisdom for it? You know, I was talking to my daughter this morning, but she saw a Centaur's, or how you pronounce it, Centaur's uniform truck drive by. And she said, is that one of the places you used to work? And I said, yeah, that was a job I took when I left Quick Trip, which was a convenience store, because I worked in a convenience store and they sold beer and cigarettes, and I felt like a Christian shouldn't be doing that. So I quit that job and took a job driving a uniform truck. And I remember I was making $300 a week and I needed $600 a week just in case of the bills I had. And I said, Lord, I just got to have it. And I asked God for a job. I won't go into the whole story, but that was how I got the job at Wonder Bread. And I said, you know, I was telling you know, those days were so amazing, because if we just believed God could do it. I still remember Sunday night. I laid up the newspaper ad and put my finger on the ad and said, God, because John 14:15, this is the confidence we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And what should we ask in my name? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified through the Son. That's actually John 14:15, I think. And I quoted that verse and I went in and got the job. On a Monday, that they weren't accepting application for until Wednesday. Just believing God's word, God worked. He took it. He worked it out. And then went from making $300 a week to making $600 and $1,000 a week. Susan was pregnant with Alexa. We had no insurance. Of all things, when they hired me, the company insurance, guess what they paid for? Which here we have OHIP, but in the U.S., if you don't have insurance, you don't just go to the hospital. You got to pay for everything, you know. And most insurance companies do not cover pre-existing conditions. And since my wife, I think, was 6 or 7 months pregnant, that's pre-existing condition. and the insurance paid for that. And so only thing it cost us total was $140. Everything. Prescription, everything. And this God just took care of that. And we saw God's hand. So we thought, man. Because we had Lara. I said, he paid off Lara's doctor bill. She was due or something then. And I said, Lord, how are we going to do this one here? Alexa was paid off early. While we just prayed and asked God to meet the need. And we just saw situation after situation. And there's so many things. The presence of God leading, opening doors. How can you take care of this? He said, Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Now, since this is the day that the Lord hath made, wouldn't you like to see God visibly working? Shouldn't you look for the visible hand of God in what's taking place in your life today? God says, number our days. Look for a day where every day, number our days that God's working in. Let the beauty of our Lord, God, be upon us. What do you want to adorn yourself? Do you want your personal beauty, something that recognizes you? Or do you want God to be upon your life? The presence of the Lord. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands. Lord, you establish what my hands are supposed to be doing. Don't let me just go try to do, Lord, I don't want to just go do something, you bless it. No, Lord, I want you to establish what my hands are supposed to be doing, and it'll be okay. Then it'll work. But so often, the Lord, I really like this. Could you bless this? You know, Lord, I really have interest in this. Would you bless this? You know. And so I said, Lord, establish thou the work of our hand. Lord, would you take these hands and would you put these hands and put my life into the work that you want them to be involved in? He says, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. So we need to number our days of God's presence, where he is involved intimately and intricately in everything that we're doing. Last thing, it's from Psalm 39. Psalm 39, the last thing we should number our days. This is Psalm of David. We said days without pride. Days without pride. And Psalm 39, verse 4, the Bible says here, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. Notice this, what it is. that I may know how frail I am. You know how so many times we don't do the commandments because we've got an idea better than God has, because we hadn't numbered our days. And we haven't figured out how frail that we really are. He said, Lord, make me know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Then he goes a little deeper. Let us understand how frail we are. He said, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. I mean, width of my hand. That's how long my days are, handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. And sometimes we think a little bit of age and time that our experience means something, you know. You know what my years of experience mean before God? Nothing. You know, God's, you know, no matter how many years I've been preaching, you know, how many years I've been serving God, you know how impressed God is with that. You know what that means before an almighty, holy, perfect God? It means nothing. It just would be like me. What's that guy? What's that sprinter? The sprinter right now that's running everybody. Yeah, Usain Bolt. That'd just be like me and him. You know, my speed would be next to Usain Bolt. It'd be nothing, you know, unless I tripped him, come out of the blocks, you know, then I might beat him. He probably could still get up and beat me. But back up, it would mean nothing. And he goes on and goes further. He said, verily, and I underline this verse in my Bible, because these verses are good reminders for me, because I see the nature where I think I can handle it, and I think I can figure it out. And sometimes I think I have some good ideas. But he says, verily, every man, so that includes me, at his best state. That means the best I could possibly be, it's nothing. It's all together. That means if I was the best I could, in my very best state, the best condition, if you wrap up every talent, every gift, every ability they have all together, it's a big pile of vanity. It's nothing. That means be humble and trust God. Since I'm nothing, that means God has to be everything. If I came to the pulpit tonight with part of me thinking, man, I can do this, I'm not going to get accomplished what really needs to be accomplished. But if I came to the pulpit tonight with my days numbered, recognizing that God gave the breath, God gave the strength, God gave the mind, God gave everything, God gave the salvation, God gave the ability to read, God gave the ability to comprehend, God gave the Holy Spirit to instruct, Lord, would you just please show me, tell me what to tell them? But when I start thinking, man, I just discovered this nugget, you know. When I think I discovered it, and said, Lord, man, the Lord showed me something, you know. It is best to say altogether vanity, you know. And this is such an important thought. You notice what's at the end of verse 5? Selah. That means you need to think on this, meditate on that. That means don't miss this. That every man at his best state is altogether vanity. But you know what the good news about that is? God loves nothing. And that means that even as nothing, if you think about at our best state we're vanity, how much more should we be amazed and awed at the love of God? That he would sacrifice his only begotten son for a people at their best state are vanity. And he loved them. I mean, who wants to partner up with a vain person? I mean, not too many people, but God did. Because God knew that with him inside of us, he could accomplish some other than vanity. Then he said in verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. A man walking on his own is a vain, empty show. He said, surely they are disquieted in vain. That means they're making a lot of noise over nothing. In vain. They're making noise about who they are. Like everywhere we see, man has all these accolades and ways to recognize himself. To say he's this, to say he's that. And making a show over nothing. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And so the psalmist says, here he said, Lord, he said, make me. He said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Lord, I don't want to be prideful. He said, make my days so I really realize how much I really need you. And if you knew how much you needed God, you probably would have prayed a lot more than you did today. If I really was humble to the place where God needed me to be every day, I'd pray a lot more than I do. And I'm trying to let God bring me low and see me, and I'm trying to see God as He is, and to realize, you know what, whatever I got planned for tomorrow, I better make sure that God established it so He can be glorified in it. It's so easy just to do things, you know, because you know what happens, we do things, when we can't see day-to-day consequences over sin, you know, we just get ourselves a situation that ultimately destroys us, you know. It's just like the Bible, you know, in the Bible, says, let us lay aside the sin and every the weights and the sin which does easily beset us. It's like, how do you get overweight? One bite at a time. You know, guess what? If you took one bite of food and like 5 pounds jumped on you like that, and you saw it's like stuck out of the side, you know, you're like, whoa, I'm not eating that. You know? But when you just take a little bite here and a little bite there, and it just takes a while to get there, and then. And then all of a sudden, man, how did that happen? You know, my clothes are shrinking again. You know, and that's what happens with God sometimes. You know, because we go our own way, we do things we know are not good for us. And how did it happen? Why do I feel so empty right now? Why don't I understand God's will? Well, the fear of the Lord, not been applied to the heart. Are you doing all the commandments of God? What about your days? Are they your days, or is it God's day? Have you numbered? And when you get up tomorrow, you ought to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. You ought to number that day. Because you know what? That's the only day. And that's another reason why Paul, I believe, said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. If I live to see tomorrow, as I rise out of my bed tomorrow, that's the day that I get to live. I set my alarm for 5:30 this morning. That's the thing to do, but actually got up at 4:30. I thought, this is the day. I don't worry about getting too much sleep because it's the day. You know, it's the day the Lord hath made. And I want the day to count, you know. In fact, I should love not sleep anyway. You know, so this is the day. I want to make it focus. I want to make it count. You know, I try to have the day as a day of purpose. I try to praise God every day. I want to know in my days that God is moving in the midst. I want Him to be a part. And better than be a part, I want to be a part of what God's doing. But too many times I make the mistake of taking off and say, God, could you get involved with this with me? Could you help me with this? Instead of saying, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? But if you'll number your days, then guess what? When the day comes, and the day comes, and the day of the Lord comes, you'll be glad to see Him. You know, I have a gracious wife that loves me and would love me whether or not I celebrated her anniversary or not. But because I planned, and because I had expectations, I was looking forward to the day. And I was looking forward to seeing her today because it was her day. And you know, the grace of God, thank God for it. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Thank God for verses like that. And even if you didn't live God for God today, if you try to fit Him in at the end of the day, because you had your schedule, guess what? God still loves you. But you know what? If you start numbering your days, you'll get out of bed differently tomorrow. I was telling one thing when we were talking, since we were talking about the Wonder Bread job, I said, man, I love that job so much. I witnessed to so many people, man. Sometimes I was in 50 stores in one day. And I had tracks and had my Bible, man, and just, I was already working 90 hours a week, so I wasn't in a hurry to get home. So I was like, man, I just stopped and told people about Jesus Christ, you know. I still remember that morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was wanting to get in the ministry so bad, and I just wanted to know what to do, and I pulled a truck off the side of the road in the interstate, and I got in the grass, and I said, Lord, If all you really do is keep witnessing and drive this bread truck and preach on the weekends, Lord, I'd be glad to do it. And I just had a time serving God because God gave me the job. God gave me the job, so He gave me the vision for it. He gave me the vision for my co-workers, you know, to witness to them. And it's funny how people watch you too, you know. A few professing Christians, they actually watch me and see if I was going to witness to people. Or people say things that would clearly show they were lost and without Christ, you know. I think I told some of the story with my supervisor. He was talking about accidents on the job. He said, "I don't want to have an accident because if I die, I'm going to hell." And he told me, he said he had an open door policy, so I made an appointment with him right after that meeting. And so I went in there, and he was a branch manager, and I said, "I have no problem with the company, but I have to talk about what you said at the meeting." I said, "I'm a Christian. I gave my life to Christ, and you said if you died, you'd go to hell. I said, I'm here to make sure you don't go." I told him about Jesus, amen. He said he was a backslidden Christian. He didn't know what he was saying. But thank God, you know, and now that was a branch manager. And my supervisor came to me. He said, I heard you talk to, I can't remember the guy's name now. He said, "I was wondering if you were going to witness to him." Now, he claimed to be a Christian. I said, "Well, why didn't he do it?" But he's waiting to see if I was going to do it, you know. I thank God I did. I mean, and I was glad I did, you know. And I was glad to hear that the guy might be saved, actually, you know. Got to witness to so many people, you know. And even that job, I mean, that alarm sometimes would go off. It would go off at 1:30 in the morning because I had to be at work by 2:30. And sometimes I'd get tired. They'd have to call me and wake me up, you know. But as soon as I woke up, I was like, I was ready to go. Because it was the day. This was the day I was going to get to witness to somebody else. I was going to get to talk to somebody else about Jesus Christ. And it changed the way my days were living. The reason why some people are so tired all the time is because they had numbered their days. There's no reason to get up. And even many Christians, sometimes they just drag on making it through life instead of saying, "This is the day." Number the day, man. This is God's day. And look for His presence in the day. It's a privilege to be alive today. Have a purpose. Let Him establish that purpose. Let Him give that day meaning. And let the pride go by the wayside. Forget about your plans and let God do your planning. And that'll change a lot of things there too. But as this year ends, you know what? We'll never get 2011 again. But there's still a few days left in 2011 to number. I encourage you to number your days. Not just the end of the year, but number all your days. And you'll be amazed how that'll change your vision for your life. And nothing will be amazed at how you will see the hand of God, remember the presence of God, moving and empowering the things that you do. You know, I'm so glad that after I came to Christ, you know what I found the most when I came to Christ? I wasn't near as good as I thought I was. I couldn't handle as many situations as I thought I could. I mean, all those things that people said about me, that Reiner could do this, Reiner could do that, Reiner could do anything. You know what I found out? They were wrong. And I found out that I desperately needed the help in the hand of God. But I tell you, there's nothing greater than being in a situation and being powerless and experiencing the hand of God come through